circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn to Luke chapter 23, verses 33 and 34. Luke 23, verses 33 and 34. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Rita.
Luke 23, verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him.
Crucified him.
And the malefactors,
mm-hmm.
one on the right hand,
mm-hmm.
and the other on the left.
Yes.
Verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father,
Father,
forgive them,
mm-hmm.
for they know not what they do.
Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
And they parted his raiment
mm-hmm.
and cast lots.
Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Yes, Lord.
He's already added the bleeding. Hallelujah. Listen, I want us to focus on forgiveness. Let's focus on forgiveness. One of the things that I think is so important to the Christian believer is to understand this issue of forgiveness. I am convinced, after being in the church as many years as I have been in the church and have pastored churches for a number of years and have been around church people most of my life, that one of our biggest problems is with this issue of forgiveness. It's not that we have issues many times with those outside of the concentric circle of contact of Christianity, but I'm talking about those of us who are brothers and sisters of the same faith, many times of the same church,
all right, doctor.
Who serve in the same ministry. And something has gone on, something has gone awry, something has fallen apart, somebody has said something that maybe someone took out of a different sense of meaning. Someone has perhaps intentionally said something to hurt someone, and yet neither party has the wherewithal to say, I'm sorry, forgive me, or you are forgiven. And I think they missed the fundamental principle found in the sixth chapter of Matthew. Verse 14 and 15 tells us very simply, if we don't forgive our brothers and sisters or whomever has asked of us to be forgiven, the verse next says, then our Heavenly Father will not forgive us. And I don't know about you, but I made a mistake or two in my life where I need some forgiveness.
Come on now, come on.
And I don't know how you feel about it, but I don't want to hold a grudge or unforgiveness in my heart and go to hell, not because of what I've done, but because of what I wouldn't do.
All right. Come on, sir.
I wouldn't forgive somebody, so God will not forgive me. Let's focus quite quickly on this verse. Now, don't forget 33. It's telling you where this cross and this situation unfolds at a place called Calvary. But there are two malefactors that are important to the story. There's one that hangs on the right side of Jesus and the other on the left side of Jesus. Jesus, of course, is in the middle. Now, I want you to know, because these characters play an important role as you keep on reading down, but because time is of the essence and I can't go through all of these verses to get to the second word that Jesus speaks on Calvary, hanging on the cross. Let's look at this first word in a more microscopic look. When Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Every word Jesus uttered from the cross was not only to communicate with God, but to share with man. Many times when Jesus went to pray with his Father, he went privately and he took out time and he spent great hours with his Father in prayer. But there were other times he prayed in their hearing so they could hear him pray. And one such case was in the 11th chapter of John, when you remember they called him because Lazarus had died and he delayed his return trip. And when he gets there, Lazarus in the grave, 4 days sleeping now. And he has this conversation with Mary and Martha. And yet when he prays at the tomb, he prays audibly in the presence of the people and say, "God, I know that you always hear me,
yes, sir,
when I pray, but that these might know, hear, and believe, I said to you," and he goes on to say what he says, "so that," again, "the people might," what? "Believe." Believe. Here again on the cross, the first of seven words Jesus speaks begins with forgiveness. That suggests to me that that's the first thing on his mind. Out of the abundance of the heart doth the mouth speak. And so the first word that Jesus utters from the cross is, "Father, forgive them." Now let me give you a few words to focus on. First, I want to share with you about this prayer of forgiveness, the selflessness of it, the selflessness. He was very unselfish in this prayer. As a matter of fact, he calls his Father, and then he talks about the folk who have done him wrong, but he never mentions himself.
Yes.
He's not trying to draw attention to himself. He's trying to draw attention to those whom his Father has sent him here to save. And so he's really saying, "Father, I see that you see what they've done to me, but don't hold that to their charge. Forgive them for my sake, because you sent me here for these very folk who are doing what they're doing for me." In other words, he's saying to the Father, "Remember why I'm here." Now, how many of us honestly would be in a situation like that, that we wouldn't call on our Father to change the situation around? How many of us would be honest and say, "I wouldn't say, Father, look, do something right now. Show them who I am." He was very selfless in this prayer. He focuses on the Father and he focuses on those who need forgiveness. So it was a very selfless prayer. What does that say to us? That if we're really going to be instrumental in learning how to forgive folk, we're going to have to take us out the scenario. I know to you, it's all about you. But to God, it's all about Jesus.
Come on, sir.
And you got to understand that God permitted whatever happened to happen. He allowed whatever happened to happen.
Yeah.
And if anything, it ought to be, Lord, what is the lesson you want me to learn out of this situation? Not sick them, not get them, not take revenge on them, but forgive them. So first of all, it was a selfless prayer. But second of all, you need to recognize that when Jesus says, forgive them, it was a sacrificial prayer. It was a sacrificial. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the sacrificial Lamb of God. He was born to die. He went to Calvary to die. All of the lambs that were slain during Passover time were but a shadow, were but of a foreshadowing of a pre-coming of Jesus. They were sheep that were slaughtered for the understanding that one day the most perfect and eternal sacrifice would be the Lamb of God who would come and make one sacrifice do for all. He would not need to be again sacrificed over and over and over again, because his perfect, precious blood would pay the price for all mankind for all times. Jesus would pay the price once and for all. He is the sacrificial lamb. So when they were coming to get him in the garden, he said, what should I say? Lord, save me from this hour? When it's this hour I came for. And thank God that an angel came and strengthened him so that he could endure the cross to make this sacrifice. So his forgiveness was about sacrificing. Many times, my brothers and sisters, we want others to sacrifice.
Come on, sir.
But we're not willing to sacrifice. You hurt my feelings. Well, do you care that you hurt my feelings? Or you hurt other folk feelings? Or do you think you're the only ones whose feelings got hurt in the process? Right, see, what you forget is, many times when you hurt somebody, it's not just that somebody you've hurt. Let me make it plain. When they did what they did to Jesus, do you not think the Father not felt that? When they did what they did to Jesus and crucify him, do you not think his mother Mary did not feel that? When they did what they did to Jesus, do you not think his disciples, and in particular John, who was right there at the cross watching everything, there with Jesus' mother, do you not know that John, who reclined on his breast at dinner time, showing his love and appreciation for Jesus, did not feel what Jesus was going through? Even though he was the only one that went through it in the physical, emotional, psychologically, and spiritually, all other folk have gone through it. And I'm gonna tell you something else. I wasn't even there, and I've gone through some stuff because of it. And so have you. And so you've got to realize, when folk go through things, it's not just them going through. If there's an addict in your house, in your family, they're not the only ones going through. Somebody who's a drunkard, somebody who's on dope, when they go through and they come in the house, everybody in the house go through. Wake up in here. Yeah. I don't care. They've been out all night. You sleeping. I ain't sleeping. Ain't nobody gonna sleep up here.
No, that's right. Yes, sir.
I mean, you know, they carry on and cut up and whatever, break your sleep, break your rest. You ain't doing anything, but they are. And because they're connected to you, you experience it. When our elderly parents in a state of sickness, a state of Alzheimer's or some other debilitating illness or sickness,
Lord,
they're not the only one going through.
Yes, Lord.
But everyone who loves and is connected with them goes through. Their lives are altered because their parents' life is altered. And I'm trying to drive the point home that because Jesus went through, he didn't go through by himself. So it was sacrificial. But then as you keep on reading, and time won't permit me to, but I need you to read on in the story, you're going to find out that this forgiveness was also sanctified.
Uh-huh.
It was sanctified. Well, how do you say that, Pastor? I told you verse 33 was important, and there is a reason for that. The thief on the right and the thief on the left, they played an important role in this crucifixion. All three of them were crucified.
Oh, yeah.
But when Jesus, before he said, Father, forgive them, both the thief on the right and the thief on the left were also railing on him, just like the Roman guards and those of those who did not like him and want him and who wanted him to die had done, who had spat on him, slapped him, done him all kinds of wrongs, and all of the other painful experiences he had. All of those things were very real to Jesus. But even when they put him on the cross, the two thieves were saying, if you are who you say you are.
All right, doctor.
Come down off the cross. Save yourself. Isn't that how folk like to try and play you?
Yes, sir.
Look at here, Jesus. Won't you get down off this cross? You the Son of God. And while you're at it, take us with you. Get us off here too, because we don't belong up here. Now, they were thieves, they were murderers, they were robbers, they were muggers. They deserved to be on the cross, but not Jesus. And it wasn't until Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, let me help you understand this. Because when Jesus said, for they know not what they do, they knew formally, F-O-R-M-A-L-L-Y, formally. They knew it from a position of authority and doing this because that's what they do to criminals. They crucify them.
Lord.
And they put guilty men to death so as to turn even the desire to want to break rule and to want to go off course and to be a criminal and realize this is the end of a criminal's life, to try and thwart those who took on a life of crime and debauchery and murder and all of that. The crucifixion was a very public and painful display to take people and turn their minds around about living in such a backwards way. But there was one man who had done no wrong.
Uh-huh.
Sinless, perfect,
Yes, Lord.
And yet he suffered as a common criminal.
Lord, have mercy.
On the right hand of the cross was a thief historians called Dismas. D-I-S-M-A-S, Dismas. Dismas was the repentant thief. On the left hand was Justice. Now it's spelled G-E-S-T-A-S, but the G is pronounced like a J, and it's Justice. Now Justice was the unrepented thief. Now, while all of them had two-syllable names, Dismas, Justice, Jesus, that's where the differences or similarities stop. But when Dismas on the right hand heard Jesus say, "Father, forgive them," something happened in Dismas.
Yes, sir.
Justice wasn't trying to hear that. He was hurting underneath the skin, and he wanted to get down, and he wanted to avoid paying the price for his sins. But Dismas said, wait a minute. When he was talking to Jesus the way he was, he said, "Man, wait a minute. We deserve what we're getting here.
Lord, have mercy.
God is just with us. But this man has done no wrong."
Uh-huh.
And yet something was happening on the inside of Dismas. He was becoming separated from his sin and separated from his friend. And he wanted to be like his new friend, Jesus, because that word, "Father, forgive them." Dismas heard when he said, "Father, forgive," he heard Dismas in the place of them. Lord, I wish I had somebody. He was so convicted, it sounded like he said, "Father, forgive Dismas." But he said, "Them." And the record is even later that a Roman soldier said that surely. This must have been the Son of God. So I need to tell you as I hurry to a close, not only was it a selfless prayer, not only was it a sacrificial prayer, and not only was it a sanctifying prayer, but lastly, and I'm through, it is a salvific prayer. What does salvific mean? I'm glad you asked. Salvific means a leading to salvation. A leading to salvation. And so when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them," just for those who are curious, how far does the "them" reach?
Lord have mercy.
Well, if you look back, it goes all the way to where the first sin occurred. See, Jesus wouldn't have been on the cross if Adam never would have sinned. Lord, I wish I had a Bible-believing church. If Adam and Eve had not sinned, Jesus never would have gone to the cross, because it means man would have never gotten out of a right relationship with God. Man would still be living the paradise experience.
Yes,
but man sinned and started the snowball effect of sin. And so to make it simple and plain, I could go through all of the names, but suffice it to say, from Adam to Jesus,
yes, sir,
everyone who has sinned, fallen short, messed up, whether by will or by deal, by hook or by crook, I mean, by commission or by omission, it doesn't matter if they've sinned, he included them.
Yes, Lord.
Now that's looking back. But since Jesus said this, because remember, he died for the sins of the whole world, then you have to look around. And everybody around the cross was included in the them. Father, forgive them.
Yes, sir.
And everyone who had an inkling of God in them felt that. Thank you, Jesus. Because you know what? When you bring up sins, it's amazing how the mind works. Your mind go back to your sin. You know, you might want to point the finger at somebody, but remember, while you're pointing that one finger, you got many others pointing back at you. And so your mind begins to say, wait, don't act all holier than thou. Don't act like you ain't, you just got through sinning. Matter of fact, you sinned from going from the one church to this church. You were sinning, matter of fact, in this church. You know you ate too much for breakfast. You know, See, sin don't always have to be great moral sins. But you do know gluttony is a sin, don't you? You know when your body says that you're not supposed to have and you still want anyhow, and you do and they go against it, that's a sin? I mean, so it moves from one degree all the way to the other. But everybody around the cross, he said, Father, forgive them.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
You know kids will be kids.
Oh, I don't know why they're trying to make a big deal of it. It's just a harmless rite of passage.
If she didn't want to be picked on, she shouldn't wear that thing on her head.
If he's going to dress that way, he's just asking for the extra attention.
It's just a stage. All kids face some bullying. They'll get over it.
That girl, she just brings it on herself. I don't feel bad for her at all.
It's just a stage.
All kids face something.
It's just a stage.
It's just a harmless rite of passage.
Don't validate. Eliminate. All students in Louisiana deserve a safe learning environment without the threat of bullying. I'm Debbie Moe, president of the Louisiana Association of Educators. It is up to us as educators, as parents, as adults to stand up on behalf of bullied students. Identify, intervene, and advocate. One caring adult can make all the difference.
Visit nea.org/bullyfree. A message from the Louisiana Association of Educators.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1.
You put
Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right.